Well, this morning, let's open to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We've been looking at a series of lessons, Joy in Christ, and just studying through the book of Philippians. And this morning, we're going to be looking at Philippians 3, 1 through 11, and thinking about the joy of freedom in Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul writes Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. For the Christian who puts his faith and trust in God, every moment of life may be a moment of joy. What do we mean by that? That's not to say that we're going to be giddy. That's not to say we're going to be constantly titillated by life's exigencies and other things that happen. It doesn't mean we're going to be constantly entertained. It doesn't mean that we're going to be constantly excited or that we're going to be constantly happy. No, there's going to be some difficulties in life, and we're going to have to go through them. But for the Christian who trusts in God, he will always have the underlying joy of the Lord in his life. And there's no moment in which he will say, I don't have the Lord's joy anymore, if he's living faithfully to him. Now, as we study through the book of Philippians, we see that there are many things in which we can rejoice as Christians. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the joy of freedom in Christ, and thinking about the Apostle Paul and what he came out of and then what he came into becoming a child of God. So let's think for a moment about Philippians 3, 1 through 11. Let's read these verses together and then we will come back and think about them. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, the joy of freedom in Christ begins with our understanding of what Paul came out of and what he came into. You know, Paul had been released from a system of religious legalism, is what he's talking about here. And these systems constantly threaten to rear their ugly heads, even in today's world. You know, Phariseeism, legalism, was trying to take hold of Christianity in these early days when the gospel began to be preached and We see passages such as Acts chapter 15 and the entire book of Galatians being written to point out that no, we're not going back to that system of legalism under the old law, that system which was just to promote and promulgate a law system. And it was very much a law system. It was like, for example, the way they construed the law of Moses in the time of Christ was very much like reading the tax code of the United States. I don't know if that's something that you enjoy doing, but I don't. And maybe that's what you're into, you can find some kind of self-righteousness in it. And Paul certainly did. But he came out of that. He recognized how debilitating it was and how controlling it was and how rigorous and how difficult. Even Peter said that the law was a yoke upon us, whom neither we nor our fathers were able to bear. And what does that then say about freedom in Christ as Paul comes out of this system? You know, Paul's past is very much part of what it means to understand freedom in Christ, because he was enamored with a false identity, the false identity of being the Hebrew of Hebrews, as he says here in this text. And today, we can adopt false identities, even in the Lord's church. We can be the so-called Christian of Christians, so to speak, and trusting not really in Christ, but within ourselves as we seek to do Christ's will, because you see, that was what Paul was doing. He believed in God, and not just any God. He believed in the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he thought that what he was doing was absolutely right. And you know, if the Messiah had not come and the Messiah had not died on the cross and had not proved that he was the Messiah through his resurrection from the dead, then Paul would have been right. Think about that for a minute. Because he was following what God taught in the Old Covenant. But Paul was wrong. Why? Because the Messiah had come. The Messiah had been raised from the dead. And now God had ushered in a new system. Paul was eventually taught that. And when he saw the truth, when he saw the light, he changed. But you see, even when we strive to do what is right, the temptation is there to put righteousness within our own selves instead of in God. And that was Paul's problem. Ultimately, it really wasn't about God. It was about him and what he thought of himself in relationship to doing what God wanted him to do. And that is a very difficult place to be. And it can be a very trying place to be also. So what is our identity? Where do we put our identity? Where did Paul have his identity? Because identity is at the heart of this issue. And that's the very first thing he says here in verses 1 and following. He talks about false identities. Beware of false identities. What are these false identities that he's talking about? Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. He's talking about Jews who were teaching that you had to obey the law of Moses in order to be a Christian. That's what he's talking about. And that Gentiles even had to be circumcised in order to be saved. The word mutilation here is a reference to those teachers who taught those things. And Paul says, no, don't go back to that old system. Don't go back to that situation. We are the circumcision. You see, there's a new identity here. The identity isn't that of the old law. The identity is that of Christ. And that's the new identity. That's the circumcision. We are the circumcision. Who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You see, because when it all boiled down to it, that old system that Paul had left behind was a fleshly system. And when our identities are in the flesh, they're in the wrong place. So what does the Apostle Paul then talk about here in reference to bewaring of false identities? What is he saying? Number one, we must be aware of efforts to change our identities. You know, as Christians, we have our identity in Christ, and that identity is something that we need to hold on to. And the flesh is always challenging us to be something other than what Christ calls us to be. Think about what Peter says here in 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Christians are in a battle. We're constantly warring against the flesh. And the flesh is constantly striving to overtake us, to make us into its servants, for us to become it instead of remaining what Christ wants us to be, spiritual individuals. And the flesh can tempt us in many ways. And it's not just about the passions. You know, oftentimes I think we look at here 1 Peter 2:11 and other passages like that, and we think about, well, fleshly lusts such as alcohol and tobacco and drugs and gambling and smoking and all of those things. Yes, those are fleshly lusts. There's no doubt about that. Yes, we are to abstain from those things. There's no doubt about that. But the flesh can ensnare us in other ways. It doesn't have to be those things. And for Paul, the flesh that he's talking about here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1, who says, who have no confidence in the flesh, is that old system of religion under the law of Moses. It was a fleshly system. And we can do that today as well. We can create a fleshly system and make it look like, oh, we're super righteous. But what have we done different than what Paul came out of? We haven't done anything different. You see, those Pharisees, they knew exactly what the law said. They knew exactly where the line was. And then they would take the line and they would draw it a little bit further back. So they made sure you wouldn't cross it. And of course, Jesus had a lot of trouble with them because of that. Because in essence, what they had done was they had elevated the traditions of men above what the scriptures actually said. And when we do that, we are just creating another fleshly system. And that in and of itself is a fleshly lust. And what fleshly lust is it? Pride. Pride. And so our pride gets in the way of us being like Christ. We've got to put our identity in Christ. Putting our identity in anything else creates problems of pride. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Look what he says. I might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he might have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So this is what Paul's pride had been saying or had said to him. And what is he doing here? He's not saying, I'm going back to that old pride. What is he saying? He's saying, I gave it up. But this is what it was. This was my pride. What was your pride, Paul? I was circumcised the eighth day. I was a stock of Israel. I was a tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I persecuted the church. And I was blameless. Look at me. And all the great things that I have done for God. Were you really doing them for God? Or were you doing it for yourself, Paul? Well, Paul ultimately finds out that he was just doing it for himself. It wasn't really for God. But he said, I had a bunch of pride, all right. And I knew exactly who I was, or at least I thought I did. And so Paul characterizes these as wanting to go back to the old law, these evil workers, dogs, the mutilation, as being fleshly. And his own life illustrates the point. They were religious people, but they put confidence in the flesh. And that is a danger today as well. You know, we are to, as Paul says here, we're not to go back to those things because we are the ones who worship God in spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ. Now think about what he says here about being spiritual in nature. It's not about fleshly worship. It's about spiritual worship. We offer spiritual sacrifices, he says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. We pray. 1 Timothy 2:8, we sing praises to God, Hebrews 2:12. We study the Word of God, Acts 27. We give ourselves freely, 2 Corinthians 9:7. And we remember the death of Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26. What we do here is spiritual in nature. It's not about the flesh. And that's why we reject so much fleshly worship that goes on in the world around us today. But can our worship become fleshly even here? Yes, if the reason why we're doing it is to aggrandize self, then that becomes fleshly. Just as much as Paul's worship under the old law became fleshly because he made it about him and not about God. We've got to remain spiritual, which means what? That when I pray, I've got to think about the words that are being said. When I sing, I've got to focus on the meaning of the songs. When we study God's Word, we've got to look at the meaning and think about it. And how does it apply to my life? When we give, I should be giving freely, joyfully. I should be happy to do that. All of the attitudes that the Scriptures talk about, that's spiritual worship. Because it's not just about doing the externals. It's not about pushing all the right buttons, checking all the right boxes. It's about what we're thinking and how we are relating to God, our Father. Many false worship practices today are based in the flesh, and they would supplant worshiping God in the Spirit and thus steal our joy in Christ. This joy that we get when we worship according to the Word of God, It's a supreme feeling of satisfaction. Not because we're right, but because we are sustaining a relationship with our Almighty Father. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God and what He has done for us and what we need to give to Him of ourselves. We have no confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul is speaking specifically about circumcision here when he says we have no confidence in the flesh. And today we could say that in regard to so many different religious traditions that replace Christ. Think about what Paul wrote to the church in Colossae here in Colossians 2, 8 through 9. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of Godhead, of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. The philosophies of men had invaded the church in Colossae. And Paul is simply saying, look, you don't need any of that. All you need is Christ. That's it. Think about what he says here in Colossians 2, 20 through 23. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concerns things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. You see, this is what men do. They come in and they try to take control and they make it about, well, you've got to check all the right boxes and do all the right things in order for you to be right. And Christ is saying, no, that's not it. It's not about checking the boxes. It's not about doing all the right things. These are the commandments and doctrines of men. They have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are no value against the indulgence of the flesh. They don't really help you. What does help us? Putting our identity in Christ. And so false identities rob us of our freedom, and they rob us of our joy as well. And that brings us to point number two. And that is, for us to have freedom, joy in Christ, we've got to count all things loss for Christ. You know, things that compete with Christ rob us of that freedom and joy, and that's what Paul is saying here. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Things that Paul once counted as gain were things like his education, his belonging to the nation of Israel, his membership in the Pharisees, his zeal for the law, his blamelessness in the execution of the law. These, he said, were just my identity in the flesh. And they were robbing him of a relationship with Christ. They were stealing his joy. And so he abandoned them, that he could know Christ. What false identities are robbing us of a relationship with Christ? Is it your job? Is it your education? Is it your family? Is it your passions? Is it your hobby? Is it your wealth? What is competing with Christ in your life? Paul said he suffered the loss of all things so that he could gain Christ. Our pride is the problem. We won't let things go because of that pride. And that creates emotional pain. But what does pride do? It goes before destruction and the fall. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. If we let go of the pride, the pain will go away also. And when that happens, we will find God's joy in our life. The boon in counting all things lost is that we gain Christ. We gain Christ. But Christ will not compromise. We can't have it both ways. We can't have both the flesh and Christ at the same time. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6 and verse 24. James wrote, adulterers and adulteresses, don't you know that friendship is with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. James 4 and verse 4. And that means we've got to commit to Christ fully. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and mind. And to love our neighbor as ourself. To be crucified with Christ, as Paul said, so that the life we live is not my life, but it's the Son of God who lives in me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. We will have freedom and joy when we put away all these things and focus our identity wholly with Christ. Not having my own righteousness, Paul says, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, if by any means I can attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul's righteousness was from the law. But we ask this question today. What is your own righteousness that competes with Christ? What do you struggle with? What do you self-justify? What do we need to sacrifice for Christ today? Jesus said, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And what was that righteousness? It was the "I'm right" philosophy. And Paul said, "I bear them witness, they have a zeal for God, but it's not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." What is our own righteousness that is getting in the way of our relationship with Christ, that is hindering our joy, that is taking away our freedom? What is that? That's a question that you need to answer for yourself and that I need to answer for myself. But I will tell you this, that the righteousness that is through faith in Christ comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we need to continue to study God's Word and put away those things in our life that shouldn't be there and adopt the things that need to be there. Because without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. And part of that diligent seeking is this process of getting out all the things of my life that need to be out and bringing in only Christ. That's what needs to happen for us to know him. and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that we may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul's statement is a statement of identity with Christ. It's a statement of, I'm going to take away everything that's not him, and only him is going to remain. Is that the life we're living? I think we can all say, we can do better each and every day. Because there's always something that we want to hold on to when we need to give it up. What do we need to give up this morning for Christ? Paul gave up all things. Suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish, he said, that I may gain Christ. Where is our treasure? Where is our treasure? So this morning, maybe you realize, hey, I need to make some changes in my life. I need to become a child of God. Maybe you need to identify with Christ, as we were talking about earlier. You can do that, as Paul discusses in Romans 6, verses 3 through 11, by being baptized into his death, that just was he was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father. Then you can walk in a new life. Because he who has died has been free from sin. And that's what it's all about, freedom in Christ. And that brings joy. It brings peace. It brings love. And ushers in the kingdom of God within your life. Do you need to become a Christian this morning? Put away those false identities that you've been holding on to in your life. Count all things lost for Christ and identify with him this morning in baptism. If that's what you need to do, we'll be glad to help you. And you can come and make that known right now while together we stand and while we sing.